So glad that you're here. So glad that you're watching today. So important to be in God's house every week, right? So important. We were created to be a part of God's house and in church. So we're into a new, not just a new season, but we're into a new message this month. And it's called Created. Created to be. You know, I was created to be. Created for this. We were created for this. So, I want to start off by saying, you know, I think that one of the most important things today is the preaching of God's word. And the preaching of God's word has to be God's word. And we can't hear nice things that we want to hear. And we can't hear fluff. We need to hear words that will change your life, because the word is the plumb line. That's how you line your words up, right? And that's why Paul exhorted young Timothy. He said, preach the word in season and out of season. Anytime, just keep preaching the word. He says, preach the word in season, out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage. And do it with all patience and diligence and instruction, because there will come a time when people will not put up with sound doctrine. I think we're heading into those times right now. And that's why it's so important, the preaching of God's word. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word this morning. Help us to hear it, believe it, and to put it into action. Help us to realize it really is truth that sets us free. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to start by looking at 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, today what I want to do is I want to change the way that you might have been perceiving things about yourself, about your life, and about the world that you're living in around you. And what I want to do today is I want to encourage you, I want to build up your faith, so that when you leave this place, that you are full of confidence and hope for your life and for your future. Amen? So, 1 Peter chapter 2, in that chapter, the Apostle Peter is speaking to a people who are living in a world, in a culture, so much like ours today. And they are Christians, the people of God, struggling to be the people of God, living in a pagan society. And so he reminds them of who they are. And this is the Message version. Such powerful words that we need to hear today. He starts off by saying to them, but you are God's chosen treasure, priests who are kings. You are God's chosen treasure. Now, my commentary says these words on your screen. The Hebrew word for treasure here is the word segula, which means a special treasure, possession. It is used to describe guarded wealth, indicating the placement of the king's jewels, treasures, in a safe, protected place because of their extraordinary value. Who's he talking about? He's talking about us. Yes. And God says that each believer is a priest. He's a representative of God in this world. And he's the king. There's a sense of royalty because of our relationship with the King of Kings. Every believer is a priest and king. His unique and special treasure of great importance. And then he finishes. Then the words say this. A treasure above all other treasures. Wow. That's who you are. This is who we are. Amen? And he says there, you are God's chosen treasure. Priests, you are kings. And he goes on to say, a spiritual nation set apart as God's devoted ones. He called you out of darkness to experience his marvelous light. And now he claims you as his very own. He did this so why did he do this? He did this so that you would broadcast His glorious wonders throughout the world, that you would spread the glory of God throughout this world. You are salt and light. Amen? For at one time, you were not God's people, but now you are. At one time, you knew nothing of God's mercy because you hadn't received it yet. But now you are drenched with it. You are drenched with God's mercy, God's goodness, and God's favor. So here Peter is speaking to a people who have basically lost their sense of identity, their calling, and their purpose. And that's so much of what's happening in our world today that I see. We've, you know, the church in general, I would say we've forgotten who we are. That we are the ecclesia of God. We are the called out ones. We're the chosen ones. We are called out. We're called out. You know, there's so much darkness in our world today, isn't there? And we see it in the world. We see it in stuff like wokeism. You've heard of it? Wokeism. Look that up and find out what it means. All this stuff comes out about racial inequality and political and social justice. Wokeism is huge. It's empower. You know, wokeism, Christian persecution, wars, sexual perversions like we've never seen before. Socialism, one world order, computer chip implants, digital IDs. Come on. What are we heading into? So what does the Bible tell us? What all these things are pointing to? You know what it's pointing into? To the last days. It's pointing to the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what does the Bible tell us to do? Here's the first thing it tells us to do. Wake up. Wake up. Don't bury your head in the sand. Know what's going around in your world. Know what's happening in your world. Wake up. You know, I say, you know, we got to be objective people. We got to, you know, the Bible tells us, first thing is to know what's happening in your world. Know what's happening. So what does the Bible tell us to do? Wake up. Wake up, wake up, or Zion, clothe yourself with strength. Put on your beautiful clothes. What are your beautiful clothes? Your robes, your relationship with God, your robes of righteousness. O holy city of Jerusalem. Rise from the dust, O Jerusalem. And then do what? Just wake up? No, more than that. And then shine. Arise, shine. For your light has come. And the glory. What's the glory of God? The Hebrew word for glory is Shekinah. What does Shekinah mean? Excuse me. The heavy, weighty presence of God. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. We're going to see. I know by the Spirit of God that there is a coming move and a presence of God that is coming to this earth. As the times get darker, we're going to see the mounting presence of God that we've never seen before. And we're going to see it come. It has to come. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth. Not just darkness. And thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you. We are called out of darkness and into light. We are called out of the ordinary into the extraordinary. Do you agree with that? Our lives are to be reflective of the beauty and the royalty of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when people see us, they should see Jesus in us. Can you say with me these words? I was created for this. I was called to be extraordinary. Do you believe that? Today I want to remind you of three things. Three things. And there's a whole bunch more, but I'm going to just focus on these three things, and I think they're really important. Three things that causes and enables us to be the extraordinary people of God, shining with the light and the glory of God on this earth. Three things it's going to take. Number one, you will become extraordinary. Well, number one, when you live by faith. You were created to live by faith. Do you agree with that? You know, I found that in my relationship with God, what God wanted more than anything was that I live by faith and by the words that God speaks over my life. In Luke chapter 5 is a picture of an ordinary guy, just like me or just like you and I. And he's a fisherman. His name is Peter. And Peter is stuck in the ordinaries and the negativities of his life until Jesus gets into his boat. And until Jesus tells him these words, to launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And when he took that step of faith, all of a sudden, he went from nothing to more than he could handle. He went from empty nets to net-breaking abundance. He went from just staying in a boat to walking on water. And he went from just being a fisherman to being a fisher of men, the highest calling of God. Amen? And, you know, his life took on a whole new dimension. And he was so impacted that he just left everything and he followed him. Amen? That's what happens when Jesus gets into your boat. You know what happens? New happens. New life, new purpose, right? New direction happens in your life. You were created to live by faith. Just a small shift, a small step on his part led to a holy shift from God, and it started just as an act of faith. Something unusual, something out of the ordinary. I love what Jim Rohn says. Jim Rohn says, if you're not willing to risk the unusual, you will have to settle for the ordinary. I don't want ordinary. I want God's purpose in my life. Amen? I want what God has for me. Jesus was not ordinary, was he? Were his disciples ordinary? No, anything but. We're in a season right now of transition. And I say that when you're in a season of transition like we're in right now, there has to be a step of faith. There has to be. You have to have a mindset about your future that says, you know what? I'm moving forward. I'm going to trust God. And this is the time we need to move on from this season that we've been caught up in, season of questioning and worry and doubt and fear. And it's true. You know, we can either live by faith or we can live by fear. I think most people are getting tired of the negativity in their lives. Aren't you? I'm getting tired of it. I'm being tired and stuck in the daily negatives and the controls that the world and several authorities are trying to impose us. You know, the Bible says it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. So don't let yourself be enslaved by the yoke of slavery. He says, you know, there's a lot of do's and don'ts that we can listen to, but you know, but God is ordained us to have, created us to have a overflowing life, a life that flows out, that blesses others, not this contained and controlled and limited. Amen? Amen. Give the Lord a hand. It's time. And also say, it's time not to give up on the dreams for your future. This is not the time to give up. It's not the time to give up your vision. And I see so many people losing their vision, losing their dreams for their future and for their families, thinking, well, I think with what's going on here, I don't see much future for us, for my families. Let's just try to get out of here. And, you know, we can have that attitude. But the question is, why dreams? Why does God give you dreams? You know why? So that you can see what you can't see. Why does he give you vision? You know why a vision? Thank you, Rick. Because a vision is an interruption. It's a divine interruption of God in your life. Just like in the book of Acts. Remember Peter? He was up there, you know, at dinner time, at lunchtime, and all of a sudden he has this vision from God. It totally changed his life, and it changed the course of Christian, of people who would receive salvation through Jesus Christ. It was through a vision. Dreams and visions are what God gives us as people. And don't give up on your dreams and visions is what God is trying to say. We were designed to live by faith and not by sight. And to have these dreams and visions. I say, listen God can do anything, but he's given us a choice, a free will. And that choice is to live, either live by faith or to live by fear. We can live by faith or we can live by fear. We were designed to live by faith and not by sight. If you live by sight, if you live by the rational reasonings and what you hear and what you see all the time, listen, I guarantee you will live in fear, because I hear so much fear being promoted. If you constantly listen to the mainstream news media, you will always hear negative things. That's why we call it CNN, constantly negative news. You know, and CNN has lost its grip on viewership because people are so sick and tired of the negativity and the control, and sorry, lies and deceptions. You cannot, that's why Jesus says, check it out. Check other credible sources out. Don't bury your head into the sand. Amen? The sons of Issachar read the signs of the time. They knew what was happening in their lives, socially, community-wise, and governmentally. And they responded. They rose up and they did something about it. Amen? We can get buried in all that's happening, and we could lose our light. This is the time we rise up and shine. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 says, by faith, how? By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. It's time to trust God and say, God, I'm moving on. Wherever you're moving me on to, I'm moving on. So next part, point, believe big. We need to believe, and to believe bigger than your current condition that's in your right life right now. Believe bigger. God has something for us, just something for you, just beyond your current level of faith. And God is saying, you know, I believe there are different levels of faith. There is no faith, there is little faith, there is great faith. And the Bible talks about all of them, and Jesus talks constantly about faith, right? So here's the question. How do we come into more faith? How do we do that? Well, there's only one way that the Bible tells us. Romans 10, 17. Consequently, faith comes from what? Hearing the message, and the message is heard through what? The word about Christ. So as you get into your Bible every day, as you get into your small groups every week, and you study the word, you memorize the word, and you listen to those words that literally help to break you out of where you currently are and help you to move on to your next level. Listen to this. When we increase our faith, we open doors. We open possibilities for God to do something that he could not do before, that could not happen without our faith. What does the Bible say? Jesus went into his hometown and he could hardly heal. He couldn't do miracles. Why? Because the people just did not believe. Your faith can allow God or can limit God. I say, let's start believing for God. Let's start believing God beyond our current level of faith. Amen? You know, God, I need a home. I'm tired of renting. I need a home for my family. I need to raise my kids in a bigger place. Well, I need money for my kids' education, right? Or, Lord, I want to give. There's so many needs, and I want to give more. So I need more so that I can give more. Amen? Romans 4, verse 13 says, clearly, God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was based not on his obedience to God's law, but on what? But on a right relationship with God that finishes it off, comes by faith. So, on your PowerPoint, our faith, I said, can either allow God or can limit God. And if you look at the history in the Bible, God's people in the Old Testament, and what did they limited God? Because they expected too little from God. What does Jesus say? He says, unless you become like little children, you can't enter the kingdom of God, right? So, question, why do kids know how to do the best? They know how to ask for more, right? I want more chocolate. I want more ice cream. They expect more. They believe, you know, they believe that when they ask, they're going to get more. But here, in this example, Israel could not expect more than just the desert for their lives, right? More than just one pair of clothes or one pair of shoes. I said, you know, if Karen was telling me, what shoes do I wear? Well, I believe, I'll make fun of my wife here. If Karen was there in the desert, the people of God would have gone into the promised land. Because she would have said, there's no way, God, I'm going to settle for one pair of clothes and one pair of shoes, right? And a whole bunch of other ladies agreed, right? So she would have led this army of women and said, no, we're moving on to the promised land because that's where the winners are. Amen? Yeah, give God a hand there. It wasn't just Joshua and Caleb. It would have been Joshua, Caleb, and Karen who would have gone to the promised land. Amen? Psalm 78, verse 40. How many times they rebelled in their desert days. How they grieved him with their grumblings. Again and again, listen to this, again and again, they limited God, preventing him from blessing them. Wow. Continually they turned back from him, provoked Holy Spirit, the Holy One of Israel. They forgot about his great love, how he took them by the hand, and with redemption's kiss, he delivered them from their enemies. See, God had country for them. God had land for them. They had milk from the herds, honey from the bees, wheat and flour from the wheat fields. I mean, it was an awesome, wonderful place, but they would not go in. See, they grieved God. How did they grieve him? By limiting him. How did they limit him? By expecting too little. How about you? How about you? What are you expecting from God this year for your children or for your family or for your future? What are you expecting for God in your marriage? I say, let's be a people of God who believe him for more, even for those things that seem impossible. Because why? Why? Because God is the God of the impossible. He can make even the impossible things possible, right? So number one, to be extraordinary, you've got to live by faith. Number two, to be extraordinary, you've got to get into a process where you're growing spiritually stronger. God created you to be in God's plan, a process of spiritual growth. And listen, on that next point, that process includes people. It includes people. Good example, and I've given this example before, is the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 9, the story introduces Paul. And when you first hear about Paul, his name is Saul then, he's a persecutor of God's people. So he starts as a persecutor, but by the end of this chapter 9, he's a preacher of God. Verse 1, during those days, Saul, full of angry threats and rage, wanted to murder the disciples of the Lord Jesus. And you go down to verse 20. Within the hour, he was in the synagogues preaching about Jesus, proclaiming Jesus is the Son of God. So here, Paul went from persecutor to preacher. How did it happen so quickly? Here's how. Because Paul not only had God's help in his life, he also had people that God brought into his life. Just like Ananias. You know, the first person that ministered to Paul was a guy named Ananias. Remember? He lived on, and he says, hey, Ananias. Spoke to him in a what? A vision. Ananias is a guy named Paul. He's blind. I've just blinded him. Go and pray for him. So Saul goes, prays for him, right? Right off the get-go, there's people in his life. And then there's a guy named Barnabas. Barnabas is saying, hey, come on, I'm going to introduce you to disciples. The disciples are terrified because this guy's a murderer. But he says, hey, this guy is legit. He's just received Christ into his life. He's different. He's changed. So right from the get-go, Paul had people in his life. His destiny was connected to ordinary but godly people. You know, and this is true. 80% of people will never fulfill their destiny, their God-given purpose. They'll never do anything significant for God. Three reasons why. Number one, they think they can make it on their own. Number two, they're no longer connecting to people. They're isolated. They very rarely connect anymore. And number three, they're connecting to wrong people. So important. People are so important. Paul's life was extraordinary. Why? Because God, he got God's direct help spiritually, but he also, as well, got help through people whom God brought into his life. So, another question. Who do you have in your life? Who do you have in your life? Just that one personal close friend that you can share your life with. that you could share your deepest desires and dreams and even disappointments with that one person that you can admit your weaknesses to, you know, and your struggles and your temptations, even if it's the most embarrassing thing. Who do you have in your life that you can do that with, right? See, Paul was enrolled in God's process to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, a follower of Christ, not a follower of this world. And we need to realize that God works through people, through relationships in our life. And I say, every time that God wants to do a work in your life, listen, he's going to bring someone else into your life. Godly people. He's going to bring someone into your life that's going to help you. And usually it's people that you might not even expect. Could be someone totally different from you. So be open, right? And I say, every time you see personal growth in someone's life, you know why? It's because God used another person. And every time you pray, almost every time, God is going to answer that prayer through another person. People are so important. So the Christian life is all about following Christ on a journey of personal transformation, a process. But listen, you were never meant to make the journey alone. God meant there to be other people in your life. And this is what it means. It means that friends of faith, people who believe in God, passionate believers in Christ, friends of yours like that, are as important to your spiritual growth as your daily devotions and your weekly worship. You become extraordinary when you involve yourself in the process of spiritual growth and with connections and relationships with people of purpose. Amen? One more. You become extraordinary when you prioritize your kingdom purpose. Did you hear that? When you prioritize your kingdom purpose. The Apostle Paul was considered to be the most important person after Jesus Christ for the spread of the Christian faith. In the history of Christianity. He wrote 13 of the 27 books in the New Testament. God used him to spread the gospel into all of Europe and into Asia Minor. And here's one thing about Paul. Paul prioritized his kingdom purpose. And because he did that, God brought people into his life. He brought allies. He brought helpers. He brought encouragers. He brought warriors to support him in the purpose of God in his life. And it was what purpose was that? The greatest purpose ever. If you read the book of Romans, just Romans chapter 16, there's a list of at least 34 different people, men and women, that God brought into his life. And all of them helped Paul to fulfill his kingdom purpose. So when it comes to relationships, this is on your PowerPoint. When it comes to partnerships in life, this is so good. Pick purpose over people. Pick purpose over people. Because when you just pick people for people's sake, you can miss your purpose. Why? Because not everyone there is for you to help you. Amen? But when you pick purpose, God will provide the people. So important. And we see this magnified in David's life, King David. David was running, he was hiding in a cave, he was all alone. And I want to tell you, the greatest gift that David could have ever received were these guys, the mighty men of God. And when he received those mighty men of God, suddenly his purpose began to click into place. First Chronicles 12 verse 16. Some men came from Judah. Some men from Judah came to David in his stronghold. David went out to meet him and said to them, "If you have come to me in peace to help me, I am ready for you to join me." That's a good thing. When you look at a relationship, are you with me? And are we going to be for one another? Or are you going to just walk away? Are you going to stab me in the back? That's what he's saying. If you have come to me in peace to help me. I am ready for you to join me. But if you have come to betray me to my enemies when my hands are free from violence, may the God of our ancestors see it and judge you. And verse 18 says, then the Spirit came upon Amasa, chief of the 30, and he said, we are yours, David. We are with you, son of Jesse. Success, success to you, and success to those who help you, for your God will help you. Amen? So David received them, and he made them leaders in his army. Wow. Question again. Who do you have in your corner? Who do you have that's loyal to you? Who do you have when everyone else walks away is still standing with you and will never let you down? Do you have someone like that? Ask for someone like that for your life. Here's what's so important. PowerPoint. The purpose of your life, the purpose of your life should determine the people in your life. The purpose in your life should determine the people in your life. Because there is nothing, nothing more important than God's purpose in your life. Did you hear that? And today, I want to be honest. I'm concerned because I see a lot of people making decisions, connections, and partnerships. And they're making those decisions based upon fulfilling their purpose. You know, and I may be old school, but I believe that in every major decision that we make, that we should be asking, is this going to further and help to fulfill my kingdom purpose? Or is it just fulfilling my purpose? I think we need to be asking for help from God. We need confirmation from godly people who care for us and making the right decisions. And the Bible says that every matter is established by the witness of two or three, is established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. That means every time you make a major decision that will affect your life, your future, your family, we need to be asking not just God, we need to be asking other godly people who can hear from God for us. And it's through those people that will give you confirmation. I will never make a decision, a major decision, just on based on the way I think and why I feel. I will always ask other godly people. Amen? And that's the way that God wants it to be. Every matter is established. I see so many people saying, Oh, I'm just going. The grass is greener here. I'm gone. See ya. They don't even ask you. Even I'm their pastor. They said, I'm gone. I thought, what? We need wisdom. The counsel of many believers makes victory sure, right? There's a reality when it comes to relationships. And I believe sometimes that's God's will. He's seen time move on. Moving you here, this is what I'm getting, you know, there's a partnership, there's a business I have for you, and I believe that God does that, right? But for most parts, when it comes to relationships, this is true. Not all relationships are meant to be forever. Some are for a reason, some for a season, and some are there for a lifetime, right? And I believe for the most part, people that come into your life, they should be for a lifetime. But our world is not like that anymore. You know, there's so much. So I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about everybody else, right? But there's so much, so many flaky, you know, superficial people who are just, you know, that way when it comes to relationships, right? But to be stronger, to be successful, you need people. And can I say this? You can't be a disciple by following Joyce Myers, no matter how great she is, right? Or any of the latest, greatest, you know, conference, megachurch speakers. You need someone in your life. You need people, ordinary people, that are connected to you and who are walking with you in your destiny. Do you believe that? See? And by admitting that you have weaknesses and that you need help, not just from God, but from people, I guarantee your life will be so much more successful. So quiet in here. Are you guys with me? Okay. You were created for this. I'm done. We were created for this. You were designed by God. First of all, to live by faith and not by sight. Not to live in fear. Secondly, you were created to be in a process where you are growing strong spiritually. And thirdly, you were created to live for God and His purposes, the kingdom purposes of God. You were created to be extraordinary. Your life was created to be full of joy and peace. You were called to live a blessed life. Amen? You know, you were created to succeed and to prosper even during these difficult times. If you agree, shout amen. 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 Not very loud shout. Let's hear it, shout it again. Amen. 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 We put that's a closure on the Word of God this morning. Bow your heads, please. Thank you, Father. Father, I want to pray for someone here. And maybe you're here today or you're watching today. And you know about Jesus, but you've never made that personal commitment to invite Him into your heart and allow Him to be Lord and Savior. God promises when you do that, He'll give you a new start, a new life. He promises you this incredible gift called the gift of eternal life, salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And if you've never made that step, if you've never invited Jesus into your boat, into your life, this is the day, this is the moment that you could do that. Guarantee, when Jesus comes into your life, man, it's going to change. So if that's you, and you want to invite Christ into your heart, you want to allow God to come into your life and change your life, will you say this prayer after me? Repeat this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for dying on the cross and shedding your blood to pay for my sins. Today and now, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of every sin that I've committed. Thank you, Jesus. And today and now, Lord, I invite you into my heart to be Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.